what we are going to do today is we're going to finish the series on the seven mysteries. And we're going to look at the seventh mystery in the Bible, and that is the rapture of the church. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read verses 50 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58. All right, starting in verse 50, the King James Bible says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, I want to say something about verse 51 that I found pretty funny. It made me chuckle when I heard this this pastor say this. He was teaching on the rapture, and he said in his church building they have a nursery, and in this nursery they have that verse posted in there, or they have it on the wall in their nursery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So he said, that's the nursery verse. So that made me chuckle when I heard him say that. But anyway, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, this is dealing with the rapture. Right? Now, when it comes to the rapture and the second coming of Christ, they are different. And things that are different are not the same. Okay, so with the second coming of Christ, Christ physically comes to the earth. He steps on the earth. With the rapture of the church, he comes only into the clouds. Right? But many say that the second coming and rapture are the same event, but they are not. Okay? Many believe in just one general resurrection with one general judgment. But there is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Again, they are not the same. Look at Acts 14:14. Acts 14:14. Wait. I'm sorry, Luke 14:14. I have Acts written here also. I was looking at Acts, and then I saw the 14:14. But it's Luke 14:14. All right, Luke 14:14. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Okay, now look at Acts 24:15. You want to read that, brother?
You said 24.
Acts 24:15.
It says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, and unjust.
Yes. So see, just and unjust. So there's more than one resurrection there. Okay. Many say also that there is no pre-tribulation rapture because the word rapture is not in the Bible. But rapture, we use that word to mean a catching up. Okay, now, the word rapture may not be in the Bible, but neither is Trinity. But we use the word Trinity. I was corrected when I was doing Sunday school one time because I said rapture. And this deacon spoke up and said, do not use the word rapture. It is not in the Bible. Use what's in the Bible. But I'm still going to use Trinity. All right, so here is the mystery. It is the disappearing of the body of Christ, the church. Here is what I think is going to happen. When this rapture happens, could you just imagine, like news agencies and whatnot, news channels, they'll be reporting on this, that everybody's disappearing, and they'll say that they were abducted by aliens. I can just see that happening. Because you see on the news and stuff now about, UFO sightings, the Navy planes, they'll be up there flying and they're recording this thing and it's UFO and whatnot. And I also heard that the Pentagon has said that aliens are real. So I don't know, but I can just see it happening. At the rapture, they're going to say that, these people that were raptured up, they were abducted by aliens. All right, so this rapture of the church, it will take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That is very, very fast. I read that a twinkling of an eye takes 11 one-hundredths of a second. That is very, very fast. So, this rapture of the body of Christ, the church, it does not include the Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, nor millennial saints. They will have their rapture take place later on, right? And they also will be rewarded or not rewarded. Okay, look at Revelation 11:18. Revelation 11, verse 18. You there?
I'm here.
All right. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, the day should be judged, and thou shalt shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. All right. So, here we have the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. Right? And there are two kinds of people. They are the dead in Christ and those that are alive and remain. All right, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verses 13 to 18. You want to read that, brother?
It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words."
Amen. All right, so first of all, in verse 13 there, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." All right, so notice them which are asleep. Now, in Revelation 20, where it talks about the great white throne judgment, you're going to see the dead. Okay, so you have those that are asleep and those that are dead. Those that are asleep are those that are in Christ. The dead are the unsaved. Okay? Then also, the Apostle Paul says, "Sorrow not, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, here's another thing that I said that made some of the brethren mad. When we have a saved loved one or a friend that passes away, we are to not sorrow. You know, there's a lot that, you know, when that happens to them, you know, they wail and carry on and all of that, but we are to not sorrow. Those that have no hope are the ones that sorrow. But we who are saved, we have hope. We have the blessed hope. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Titus 2:13. And then we'll go back here to 1 Thessalonians. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, hope. Hope is not a trivial hope. It's not a shallow hope. It's not going to the Lord in prayer and, you know, talking to God, and then after you get done praying, you say to yourself, well, I hope I get what I asked for. I hope that the Lord heard my prayer. That's not hope. That's doubt. Hope is knowing. Hope is knowing that God is still on the throne. And hope is knowing that God hears and answers our prayers. And His answer is not always yes. He answers either yes, no, or wait. And even if He says no or wait, He's answered your prayers. But yet, we see sometimes, I see sometimes on Facebook, you know, whatever, these preachers, pastors, you know, they'll post something on Facebook like this. Today, I will be preaching on how to get your prayers answered. Please be with us. But for the child of God, really and truly, there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. So hope is knowing. Hope is knowing that Jesus Christ is going to come into those clouds one day and He's going to call His church home by name. That's our blessed hope. All right, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So those that are dead in Christ, they will go be with the Lord. They will be raptured out. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now, Let me ask you a very personal question. And you don't have to answer. You can answer to yourself. But for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is his authority. So my question is, do you believe the word of the Lord? Now, this is what he says, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those that are dead in Christ will rise. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are dead in Christ, they will be raptured out. They will be caught up first in the air. Right? And also, that trump of God, right? That trump of God is not a trumpet. As a lot say, this trump of God is his voice. All right? And his voice to a saved person will sound like a trumpet. And a trump is the sound that a trumpet makes. All right, look at Revelation 4. Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2. You want to read that, brother?
After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
Yes. All right, so notice there. Now, Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2, it is not the rapture of the church, but it is a type and picture of the rapture. Okay, and so notice, and the first voice which I heard was as it were, comparison, as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither. So his voice is going to sound like a trumpet. Now to the unsaved, it's going to sound like thunder. Okay? Look at, first of all, John 12, 29. And let's read verses 27 to 29. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And verse 29. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Now look at Job 37. Job 37, verses 1 to 5. You want to read that, brother?
At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend.
Yes, amen. All right, so his voice to save person sound like a trumpet. To the unsaved, it's going to sound like thunder. All right, so now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we ended in verse 16. Now, let me just say before we read the rest of this, that Hebrews 9:27 says that as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. All right, now, there is an exception to this. Look at verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the exception is this. At the rapture of the church, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those that are alive and remain, all right, they will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall it ever be with the Lord. So when the Lord comes back in the clouds at the rapture and calls his church home by name, those that are saved in the body of Christ and alive at that time, they will be caught up, they will be raptured up, and they will not taste death. And then, verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, should be a comfort to us. But yet there's so many that say that there is no rapture. I believe the King James Bible from cover to cover. The Bible says that we will be caught up. We will be raptured. And I believe it, and I'm going to stick to it. And so, you know, there is a solar eclipse coming up in April 8th. You know, and many are saying that, you know, the rapture is going to happen. You know, this eclipse is prophetic. You know, because it's going to be passing through, in the States, it's going to be passing through all these cities that are named Nineveh. You know, and if you look at the eclipse that happened 7 years ago, and they say that also, you know, it's prophetic because the last eclipse was 7 years ago. Seven in the Bible is a number of perfection or completion, right? But also, you look at the eclipse from 7 years ago and the eclipse that's happening on the 8th, they cross paths to where it makes an X over the U.S. You know, and then I read that not long ago, a couple days ago maybe, the Statue of Liberty was struck by lightning, the torch struck by lightning, and then they had like a 4-point-something earthquake there in New York City. You know, so they're saying all these events are leading up, you know, to the rapture. So, you know, the rapture is going to happen, you know, with this eclipse and all this other. But signs are for the Jews.
Yes.
We are to not be looking for signs. Blood moons, earthquakes, typhoons, volcanoes. That's another thing. I see, you know, here in the Philippines, we have a lot of earthquakes. You know, and there's some volcanoes here too. We live very close to a volcano. But I see on Facebook, you know, we'll have like there'll be like an earthquake here, you know, or a volcano will erupt, and then someone will post on Facebook about it and say, you know, keep looking up, you know, because the rapture is going to happen. You know, the signs of the times are everywhere. But, you know, we're not to be looking for signs, not to be looking for any of that stuff. What we are to be looking for is Jesus Christ to come into those clouds and to call us home. That's what we're to be looking for. Not any of these signs. So we are to stay focused on His coming back in those clouds. All right, so one day death is going to be destroyed. It's going to be swallowed up in victory. Amen. The rapture of the church will not occur during or after the tribulation. The church will not go through 1 second of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is for Israel. It is to get Israel saved as a nation. But the church is saved from the wrath to come. All right, look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Praise God for that. We will not see 1 second of that tribulation period. And also, I will say this. Some say that Matthew 24 deals with the rapture of the church. But it does not. Okay, let's go to Matthew 24 real quick. All right, and let's look at verses 12 to 14. You want to read that, brother?
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The heat that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Yes. Alright, so notice verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So, does the church, the body of Christ, have to endure unto the end to be saved?
Nope.
The answer is no. We in this church age, in this dispensation, we are saved by grace through faith. And once we put our faith and trust in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, we are saved forever.
Amen.
There is nothing or no one that can take our salvation away from us. We don't have to endure. But in the tribulation period, if they take the mark of the beast, they are finished. There is no salvation for them at all. They're done. And also, verse 14, look at this. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Do we, the church, preach the gospel of the kingdom? No, we don't. Or we shouldn't. You know, we preach the gospel of the grace of God, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. Amen? So, Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll end it right here. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58. And remember that the rapture should be a comfort to us. Amen? Now, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let's you and I be steadfast. You know, in the Navy, when a supervisor an LCPO, a leading chief petty officer, officer, whatever, you know, if they want you to stay put, they will tell you to stand fast. Don't move. Stay where you are. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So let's you and I be steadfast, unmovable, and let's always abound in the work of the Lord. It's not easy. Ministry is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. Harder than the Navy. But you know, sometimes, I'll be honest about this. Sometimes I get these, my mind gets going, you know, and then I get these thoughts in my mind that, well, you know, this is not worth it. You know, why am I doing this? You know, nobody's listening. Nobody's watching the preaching videos, teaching videos, whatever. So why am I doing this? But you know what? God called us for His purpose. So, let's be faithful to what God has called us to do. I saw a post today on Facebook that said, someone said, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but they said something like, only judge a ministry by faithfulness, not by anything else. So, you know, we are not called into ministry to be successful. We're called into ministry to be faithful. And I'm sure we're going to get down, you know, and discouraged. But let's keep trusting the Lord. Amen. The Lord called us for His purpose, not ours. Not anyone else's purpose. So let's please the Lord, amen. And let's keep looking for the Lord to come back into those clouds and call us home by name. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine Christ coming into those clouds and saying, Brother Robert, come up hither. Brother Landon, come up hither. Brother Ivan, come up hither. And it's all going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. Wow. Amen. Praise God. One day it's going to happen. I'm looking forward to it. All right. So I'll go ahead and I'll stop right there. So you have anything that you want to add, brother? Anything you want to ask, whatever?
You mentioned that the signs are for the Jews, and that's correct. I was looking right here, have my Bible still open right here in 1 Thessalonians 4. Right here in the common man's, it has 4 and 5 on the left and right page. Now, mm-hmm. just looking to note the contrast right here, because in chapter 4, you know, it's dealing with us, like we were teaching tonight about the rapture of the church that's being called out. And then the next chapter over, chapter 5, right here directly, Paul gets the contrast dealing with the Jews. He's, you know, teaching us about the Jews here, about them going through the tribulation and waiting for the day of the Lord. But what stuck out in particular is right here, particularly is in verse 1, it said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you know perfectly. But it said the times and the seasons, and, you know, the like new eye being in a lot of the Christianity today, they want to lump this together and say, you know, this is us. Right there, that will phrase right there said times and the seasons. But I was referencing that back and looking because you were in Matthew 24 as well.
Yeah.
In Matthew 24 and verse 3, when the disciples came to him, he said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And that references right there with verse 1 right here, showing that that's a Jewish message right there, so we can see the contrast between the above two chapters.
Yes. Yeah, and so, you know, that's dealing with the Lord's second coming.
Yes.
Right? And so we don't know the times or the season, you know, for that. But a lot of people will put that as the rapture. And say, we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. But you know, if you use the 7,000 year, you know, seven, right, being the number of perfection or completion. If you use the 7,000 year plan of God, we can get pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, when the rapture is going to happen, because you have 7,000 years, right? And then you have a 4,000 year history of the Jew, which 1,000 years is 1 day, and 1 day is 1,000 years to the Lord. So you got 4,000 year history of the Jews. That's day one, day two, day three, day four. Okay, and then you have the cross. Then after the cross, then you have an approximately 2,000 year church history. That's day 5, day 6. Approximately 2,000 years. All right? And then you have, after that, 1,000 year reign of Christ on earth, millennial reign. That's day seven. All right, so approximately 2,000 year history of the church. Going by our calendar, right, we're over that. So if our calendar is correct, then, you know, that shows the mercy of God, that he wants more people to be saved. So we know that the rapture could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be months from now, it could be years from now. But it could happen at any time. So we need to be watching, looking for the Lord's return.
Yeah, and so, I know in verse 9, and I've used it before too, but God has not pointed us into wrath, you know, to show that we're not going to be in tribulation. But,
yes,
you know, I've heard people try to explain that away, that we will, but I was looking and verses 1 through 3, Paul goes directly dealing with the tribulation. But then he goes in complete contrast for us in verse 4. He says, "You brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." And then he goes on down in verses 5, 6, and it goes on. And what I like, and that goes right with chapter 4, you know, for us, and we come back over to chapter 5 again. Paul goes in verse 11. Paul goes right the way he ended of verse 18 in chapter 4 when he says, "Comfort yourself, comfort one another with these words." Chapter 5, verse 11, after telling us about the tribulation for the Jews, he says again, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another."
Yes.
Again, he reiterated again. That's not you.
Yep.
And I like that.
Amen, bro. You know, the problem is, a lot of the brethren do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth.
Oh.
And as per 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, I started to watch a video the other day that I saw from this Baptist pastor here in the Philippines. And, you know, he was saying that there's only one way of salvation throughout the whole Bible. And so when he said that, I stopped watching it. Yeah, so it's they cannot understand the difference between Jews, Gentiles, Church of God.
That's the problem.
Yes. They think because it's Bible, it's speaking to them and it's for them. So that's the issue. You know, and then when you try to teach them the truth, you know, teach them how to rightly divide, then the reaction will be something like this. "Oh, that's Ruckmanism, and that's wrong." Yeah, so, you know, all you can do, brother, is just keep preaching and teaching the truth. You know, and what people do with it, you know, that's between them and God. You know, they're the ones that are going to have to stand before God one day and give an account. Yeah. So just keep preaching and teaching, brother. You know, and maybe one day, you know, the Holy Spirit will will open up their eyes. And I know at one time, you know, I wasn't a dispensationalist.
Hey man, me neither.
You know, and I believe that the whole Bible was for us. But I did not believe, you know, that, you know, we do animal sacrifices. You know, but I believe that the whole Bible was for us. You know, and then the Lord sent me here to the Philippines, and then that's when I started learning, you know, dispensationalism, and the Bible had just come alive for me. You know, and I was saved in 1995. Yeah, and so from 1995 all the way to 2011, or let's say 2012, because that's when I started learning dispensationalism, I believed at that time that the whole Bible was for us, you know, and for our doctrines and stuff. So if the Lord can teach me dispensationalism, you know, and get me to learn the truth, you know, he can do it for anybody.
Man.
So, you know, we just have to be patient with people. You know, and if they get mad at us, they get mad. You know, but we know the truth. You know, so that's it, brother. You know, just be patient with people and keep preaching and teaching the truth. And pray for them. You know, pray that the Lord will open up their blinded eyes, you know, through the Holy Spirit. So, all right, brother. So I will go ahead and I'm going to end it right here. I'll stop the recording.